coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Well, I think you could probably place all of your chips on the pass line today. Today is Tuesday, July 11th, 7-11, that is, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman, Hagman Report, HagmanPI.com. That's the place to go to find everything you need. And in the upper right-hand section there, you can click on the top box graphic in the upper right-hand section to go to the videos, which I suggest you do. I'm going to be referencing some of the videos we did here in the last week or so, but covering a lot of information, news that you need to know that you're not hearing about. And, you know, I was thinking in preparation of today's show, that old adage or that old, I guess it would be an adage. You know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? The question could be switched to perhaps if a war broke out and there's no mainstream, legacy, lamestream media to report it, would anybody know about it until the bombs hit and, things happen internally here in America or whatever country you might be watching this in. And I want to say, by the way, hello to my dear little sister Karen in Rome, New York. God bless you. I got to catch up on some emails. I know. But anyway, thank you so much to all of you who support this broadcast. Thank you. Without your support, we would be gone. Gone. Done. That's it. Because why? I was informed this week that corporate sponsors, no, not so happy with the content of the show. So we must be doing something right. And I've also been informed, you know, to watch out for questions from the Department of Justice about this platform's role in January 6th. And I've also been advised to have some sort of war chest build up for potential legal fees. And I've also been advised that, you know, there are some people that absolutely refuse to go and come on our program because it's becoming too controversial. So it's really been the last really 36 hours, I guess. Rather interesting. So he must be over the target. But speaking of the tree, the forest, and would you know it? It's interesting because we had a show last Friday, Afia. You remember her, correct? If you haven't seen that extended show, that program, that episode from last Friday, please do me a favor. Number one, tune in. Number two, I mean, watch it. Watch it carefully. There it is on your screen there. It's episode 4478. All right. I can't believe we've done that many episodes, but we have, especially since I believe it was 2011 when we started or 2010 when we started. So but folks, please do me a favor. Watch this. Understand her story. Go to her website, the website that was made for her. Tell her story because it's important that you have the facts. She is an abused individual in a marriage with a Hollywood individual, okay? And there was a lot of clout there. Children taken away despite ample evidence of abuse and placed with her, the alleged abuser, her ex-husband. It's a story that you hear time and time and time and time again. Why is this important? Well, with Sound of Freedom coming out and the censorship, stories like this aren't getting out. in the Sound of Freedom, you know, people are amazed at the numbers that the in the box office, Sound of Freedom, box office, the numbers, the millions of dollars, despite the left's best efforts to quash this information. I draw your attention to this will be, and by the way, for all of the citations, assets, videos, and everything, go to HagmanPI.com, click on today's episode. This will not be in Rumble or Brighteon, and then you can find all of the citations there. And by the way, we're trying to build back our 250,000 followers, roughly. It was less than that, but between 200 and two, whatever it was. But it was over 200,000 followers on YouTube when they pulled the plug because they didn't like the truth. So do me a favor, go to Rumble, Brighteon, subscribe to our program, give us a thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways. I don't know, whatever you want to do, but definitely do something. Leave a comment. I read the comments as quickly as I can, and sometimes I'll leave a statement or two and respond to the comments. But that show with Afia and Sound of Freedom, okay, there's some overlap there. You know, folks, that this platform, the Hagman Report, works with ShatterOps.org. ShatterOps.org is the investigative body created by Russ Dizdar and living on to honor his legacy. They have saved many children. Right now, I can tell you that ShatterOps and Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, are working together. We intend on doing some joint investigations and things happening. And I'm not going to get too deep into this because, of course, you know, I'm not going to talk about an ongoing investigation, but investigations, plural. But we're going to be doing some things here in the short term with ShatterOps, Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, in saving our children. But the biggest trafficker of children, of course, are the globalists within the government. And the currency, their currency is the children and the blood of children. Believe that, don't believe it, I don't care. But the left is doing a lot. So I draw your attention to, in the show prep material, page number 4, Sound of Freedom is a superhero movie for dads with brain worms. Now, this is the rolling puke stone, and I'm sad to say I had a couple of reporters in my office a couple of years ago from this puke publication, okay, about this very issue, and they didn't want to hear crap. So I find it very easy to believe that this, in my opinion, this mope writing this article, Miles, hey, Miles, get your head out of your ass and understand that this is a real problem. Why you want to protect the pedophiles and the traffickers is just beyond me. And why you would take a movie like this and just, actually insult the millions of people who have seen this by calling them dads with brain worms, okay? It's just beyond me. But that's the left for you. That's the communist platform for you. Folks, read that article and be ready to be sickened by this Miles person. At least, again, this is my opinion. I think that there's something else going on there. Maybe a little bit of jealousy, professional jealousy, because, well, you know, it's sad when people can't really make it, you know, do their own thing, and or if they do it, they fail at it. But Sound of Freedom is a superhero movie for dads with brain worms. What a crock of crap that is. But just to tell you how bad this censorship platform is in the U.S. and across the planet. In the U.S., with this particular movie, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, but what they've been doing, what theaters have been doing, AMC allegedly doing, AMC theaters and other theaters, they've been doing things like turning the AC off in the theater, air conditioning off in the theaters, making it very uncomfortable for the theater goers as opposed to normal video flicks, right? They've been, people have been calling, reserving tickets, and then not showing up. So you have supposedly this packed theater, and maybe 10 people, 11, 12 people might show up. But that's not because of a lack of interest, but it'll be reported that way and driven home that way by the mainstream media, by the Brian Stelters of the world, okay? You get what I'm saying? Because they don't want you to see this movie. They don't want you to understand what we collectively and individually are doing to save the children. Because the children have been the currency of the globalists for since day one. And this is all part of this censorship. Now, on a good note, censorship, there's a case right now that we need to talk about. It's Missouri versus Biden et al. It's a lawsuit that's taking place. HagmanPI.com, I've got it up there. But before I get to that, I want to show you a video. This is video A in the show notes. This is about the Missouri Attorney General, Andrew Bailey. The federal government can't outsource censorship. This will come into this program in a number of different ways because this will address the elections of 2020, the January 6th events, everything you could possibly think of, this has to do with, okay? This is relevant to everything you can possibly think of. So let's go to video A in the show notes. This clip, play it, Eric the Tech.
Tell us a little bit about how far-reaching the FBI's efforts to censor speech in the world, and particularly in the United States, has been. You've probably seen more of it than anyone else.
Well, we've got 20,000 pages of documents. We've conducted numerous depositions, and we've only just begun to scratch the surface. You know, my fear, and I think it's backed up by the evidence, is that this goes much broader, much more, it extends much more broadly than we had originally anticipated. That's why it's so important to keep pushing this lawsuit forward. And I'll say, the federal government is not allowed to do it through a third party what it's prohibited from doing directly. In other words, it can't outsource its censorship. That's still government censorship. The government is still the proximate cause of that censorship. It's the unbroken chain from the government demand to the censorship. And so the censorship you're describing would still be violative of the First Amendment. And certainly that's what we see in our case involving big tech, is that the federal government was coercing and colluding with big tech to actually achieve the censorship objectives. The court has identified it as a vast censorship enterprise. And our fear is that it is the nerve center has now been housed in the Department of Homeland Security and the Cyber Security and Infrastructure Security Administration. And the director of CISA has said, look, we deal with software and bridges, but there's a neurological infrastructure as well. So now our brains are subject to censorship, according to federal officials. And the frightening part is the Department of Homeland Security was an agency created in the wake of 9/11 to protect us from foreign attack. It's now being weaponized against Americans' right to free speech and a betrayal of our trust and values.
That is such an important piece of information that also addresses certain things about AI, artificial intelligence, but that's so important what the Attorney General there said in terms of the weaponization, in terms of what's taking place here in this country. But this is a worldwide phenomenon. This is this is a worldwide agenda. But here in the United States, if you go to page A, and again, you can find this at HagmanPI.com, the lawsuit itself, the state of Missouri et al. Versus Joseph R. Biden Jr. et al. I'd like you to take a look at the defendants, the number of defendants. If you scroll down on that document to the footnotes section, right there. There you go. A little bit lower, and you'll see defendants. Okay. This is number two. Defendants consist of Biden. Okay, we know who that is. Karine Jean-Pierre. Vivek Murthy, Xavier Becerra, Department of Health and Human Services, Dr. Hugh Auchincloss. You've heard that name associated with Fauci, and of course, Oh, the CDC, FDA, NIAID, NIH, you've heard that name, Puach and Kloss, the mini-me of Dr. Fauci, again, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Alejandro Mayorkas, that's right, he's a defendant, that little traitor is a defendant, a traitor to the Constitution, a traitor to the United States. He's a defendant, of course, head of the Department of Homeland Security, the weaponized Department of Homeland Security, against us as patriots. You've got Jen Easterly, the CISA individual, Carol Crawford. Folks know these names. There are some pretty detestable individuals in this, absolutely detestable. And when you read this complaint, and I urge that you do, it's like 155 pages without the stuff. Well, it says 162, I guess, up there, but it's like 155 pages. This is document number 293. This was the injunction, the memorandum ruling on request for a preliminary injunction, which, in other words, this case is going forward, which is a great thing. But the disgust that is contained in this document. So, folks, the message takeaway here, again, this is kind of like the top 10 of 10, if this was a 10, the top 10 pieces of information. You need to know what's going on just in rapid fashion. So the censorship is still going on. It's elucidated in this particular document, especially in this document. And you can go back to the original filings, but this one here especially, it shows the egregious events that have been taking place with respect to these defendants, and it's just horrific. Now, what else? I mean, so you've got this news blockage about what's going on in Ukraine and Russia. You've got this news blockage. Everything really. And everything you hear on the lamestream moronic media is BS. It's a bunch of crap. It's all scripted, right? But we also are continuing with our COVID censorship. So this is video B. It's just over 3.5 minutes long. And this COVID censorship is continuing. Now, I wanted to get into this. This is not necessarily new. I'm saying it happened last week. I believe it was last week. But it's interesting because the censorship with respect to the injections continues. Now, I have learned many new things about these injections. Karen Kingston, I listened to a recent interview she gave, okay, which blew my mind. We have to do a show on this. Folks, and leave a comment if you think these shows are worthy. In other words, you know, we should do like a theme show about one particular subject, just drill down. Or if you think it's just not worth it and I'm preaching to the choir, let me know. Leave it in the comments, especially at Rumble, Brighteon as well. And again, I go through all of the comments. But let's go to video B. COVID censorship continues. Watch this.
Lancet study on COVID vaccine autopsies finds 74% were caused by vaccine. Studies removed in 24 hours. Doctor, walk us through this.
This is a stunning act of medical censorship. This is a high-level paper. It's all the autopsies done across all the different case reports in the world's commission by the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Pulcher is the first author. I'm the senior author. Lancet did not view it unfavorably. It triaged it to a lower level Lancet journal, and we declined that because we're going to publish it in a high level journal. But Lancet did allow it on its preprint server, which is non peer reviewed. But it went through
for a second, go back like 10 seconds and just pausing it to that headline. I want to read that headline for the radio listeners right there. Okay. Lancet published a study this is for the radio listeners on COVID vaccine autopsies. They found 74% were caused by the shot. So again, this is Lancet. This is not, you know, this is a highly respected publication. The study itself that showed 74% of the deaths where they did the autopsies found that their deaths were caused by these injections. That study was removed everywhere within 24 hours of its publication. Again, for radio listeners, and continue from here.
Lancet Journal, and we decline that because we're going to publish it in a high-level journal, but Lancet did allow it on its preprint server, which is non-peer-reviewed, but it went through two sets of checks. It was perfectly fine. Charlie, it was up overnight, and it was getting huge surges in downloads. And I think some acting entity contacted Elsevier Lancet and said, take the paper down. We can't let the truth get out about death after vaccination.
So let's go to the question, why? Why on earth are they censoring this? I mean, doctor, if my team tells me you're one of the most published cardiologists in American history. You have a lot of experience publishing data that people might not like to hear, but you have to go where the data leads you. Doctor, why is the powerful Lancet censoring wrongthink that might go against the narrative? What's the motive here?
The motive is continued mass vaccination at all costs, and it does mean suppressing information on safety. This has now come out, by the way, in the Cariotti et al. Lawsuit versus Biden for social media censorship. Social media was actively censoring any information on vaccine safety, just like the medical journals are, including Lancet.
It really makes you wonder. So right now there are 120 colleges, by the way, that still require full vaccination, full boosting for kids to go there. And so doctor, I'm starting to see the Overton window move a little bit, though, even in just upper polite society, people that were otherwise shills and peddlers of the mRNA vaccine, people that I kind of, you know, talk to here or there. They've really turned on this, and there's, I think, a consensus agreement, 60 to 70% of the country that now either regrets getting the mRNA shot, believes it was a mistake. Doctor, let's talk about this. It was maybe 10 to 15% of the country, and now it's 60 to 70% of the country. You deserve a lot of credit for it. Have you seen similar movements in the Overton window?
Yeah, I agree. The country and actually the world at large has realized the vaccines aren't safe. They never worked. You know, the CDC V-safe data, 10 million Americans, 7.7% got so sick with the shots they had to go to the ER, be hospitalized afterwards. That's a huge number. The Rasmussen survey this fall sadly showed 1 in 4 Americans know somebody who's died of the vaccine. I mean, that's a huge, huge number. Now we have these data showing that, you know, the autopsies, when they're done, and we had a standard search methodology, standard adjudication. People expert in cardiac pathology, including myself, we know what we're looking at. And, you know, Lancet said, you know, the methodology didn't support the conclusions, but they didn't say what about the methodology. And they certainly didn't have problems when we are putting it up on the preprint server. I think this is censorship after the fact. And I think it's probably influenced by what we term in my book, a biopharmaceutical complex. A syndicate that's formed out there that does have an agenda for worldwide mass vaccination.
Lancet.
Wow. All right, folks. Again, all of these clips will be available at HagmanPI.com. Click on the label or the title for today's program. And then, of course, scroll down and you'll see all of the clips. Listen to them, spread them around. And, of course, the attribution is there as well. Now, speaking of censorship, this is something that I could dedicate an entire show to. The Biden Department of Justice, this is page 7 for those following at home. This is page 7, Department of Justice announces criminal charges against whistleblower who provided FBI evidence against Joe and Hunter Biden. Okay, wow. Remember this name, Gal Luft. That's GALLUFT. And this is from the conservative treehouse. However, a lot of places are reporting this, and a lot of places are trying not to report this. And with respect to Sundance at the conservative treehouse, beyond the big picture of the Biden Justice Department filing criminal indictment against the man who provided the FBI with evidence of Joe and Hunter Biden's corrupt dealings with the FBI is a secondary point of the Biden Department of Justice. Once again, using FARA violations as the tip of the spear against their target. It's interesting how FARA is only applicable to the people who want to do good, who want to provide information for against the bad guys, I suppose, is the best way to say it. It'd be like me. It'd be like a police officer using a confidential informant to grab someone bigger and then jailing the confidential informant. On some like a parking charge because he double parked while he was giving the information. Maybe that's not a precise explanation, but it'll do. But last week, Dr. Gal Luft went public with statements about who, when, how, and why he informed the FBI and DOJ of Joe and Hunter Biden taking payments from companies associated with the Chinese Communist Party. This is what this is all about. We are at war with China. China is at war with us. We are at war, de facto war, with Russia. Russia is trying to swat us away. Biden's walking around in friggin' circles. He doesn't even know what planet he's on. Can we just take a break real quick? And for the viewing audience, can we show that clip of Biden in the UK? You talk about a friggin' national embarrassment, which gets me to this point, too. Yesterday, we had on Joel Gilbert. Now, if you didn't see that show, Joel Gilbert and I, man, I'll tell you what, we spoke. This guy, Joel Gilbert, is probably one of the most accomplished investigative reporters, journalists, whatever you want to call him. He's a filmmaker. He's a documentarian, director, film director. But the fact is he does investigation. And I was absolutely convinced that Michelle Obama had like a third leg, okay? I was convinced. Eric the Tech was convinced she had a third leg. He had a third leg. We would always call him Michael. But the fact is, there's some things worse than that, if you can believe it. So to take your eyes off the worst stuff, let's focus on that third leg, right? At least, hey, maybe a third leg has sprouted since, over the last couple of years, or been created or crafted. Who knows? But in terms of the children, and initially, no, she was born a girl. And I told Joel, I said, Joel, I'm disappointed. I thought I was right. Eric the Tech thought he was right. I mean, but no. But I said all of that. Why did I say that? Because. Why did I say that? Oh, because, yeah, the reason I lost my train of thought. The reason I said that is because Joe Biden. When you think of Joe Biden, what do you think of? A potato.
Hairy legs.
Hairy legs. Yeah, I got hairy legs. Corn Pop was a bad dude. No, I'm serious. No joke. Whatever.
Ice cream cones.
My butt's been wiped. All right.
Bicycle accidents.
Yeah, go figure, right? Which Biden had that accident, by the way?
Tripping on the carpet.
Oh, my gosh. Well, watch this. Okay. Here's the thing right now. Biden is married to the DNC. He's kind of like that house you might have, and it's, it's fallen down. It's got all these code violations. It stinks. You can't get rid of it. But it's yours. But you want to sell it, but you can't. That's Joe Biden. Watch this. This happened within the last 24 hours over in the UK. Now, again, just watch what Biden does. And watch the old King Charles, another King Charles. Man, I'll tell you what, we got a whole bunch of scrapping to do, don't we? All right, with all, you know, King Charles again. This, anyway, watch this. I'm going to narrate this because the sound is nothing. King Charles saying, "Hey, Joe, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Hey, Joe, do I got to come over there, Joe, and hold your hand? Come on, this way, this way. You're not supposed to talk to those people." Watch this again. Joe, hey, get over here. Of course, I don't know what he's saying, you know, in fairness, but it's got to be pretty frustrating. So when yesterday, when Joel Gilbert was on the program and said, look, it's going to be a Michelle Obama 2024 ticket, we bet a steak, a steak dinner. I said, if she gets a ticket, you owe me a steak dinner. He said, you got it. So, but the reason I put this out and I showed you this, because you can see like 1,000 clips like this. They've got to dump Joe Biden. They've got to jump Joe Biden. So, but who's going to do it? How are they going to do it? Okay. Now that brings me to this. Biden has effectively, or is it Biden, effectively weaponized the Department of Justice and the FBI. So we have a whistleblower, and this information is coming out more and more and more and more about the enrichment, about Joe Biden selling off the assets of the United States or becoming personally enriched by his relationship with communist China and cokehead Joe. And by the way, there was over, I think, 9,000 photographs on the hard drive. Roughly 4,000 photographs include lewd photographs with underage girls. Speaking of the subject we first opened with. Okay, this is a sick-ass family, but they've got to get rid of him. But in the meantime, he's enriching himself, and he's off the chain. He's going after whistleblowers. I'd like you to play, if you can, Eric the Tech, just a little bit of Gal Luft. It's embedded in, I don't think I have it, it's embedded in the... it's embedded in that article. The last week, Dr. Luft gave a stunning video testimonial about how he contacted the DOJ and the FBI in March, listen to this, of 2019, when Bill Barr, that fat slob seal, Bill Barr was in office, to report very specific allegations against the Biden family. If we can play a little bit of this, then we'll cut it off. Do you have it ready?
Good day.
There we go.
My name is Dr. Gal Luft. For the past 20 years, I have been the co-director of the Institute for the Analysis of Global Security, a Washington-based think tank focused on energy security. For the past 15 years, I've been a resident of Israel. And for 4 years, I was senior advisor to the China energy company CFC at the same time of its dealings with the Biden family. Under normal circumstances, I would be testifying before Congress about my experience with CFC. Sadly, due to circumstances I shall describe here in this video, I am forced to tell you this story via video. My ordeal goes back to a fatal decision I made in March of 2019 to share with the U.S. government my knowledge about the Biden family's relations with CFC. As I said, it was in March of 2019 in a two-day session at the U.S. Embassy in Brussels. I insisted that the meeting take place in March because at the time there were rumors that Joe Biden was planning to run for president. I saw it as my civic duty to alert the government beforehand and give it enough time to probe the issue. I want to be clear. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I have no political motive or agenda. I did it out of deep concern that if the Bidens were to come to power, the country would be facing the same traumatic Russia collusion scandal, only this time with China. Sadly, because of the DOJ's cover-up, this is exactly what happened. The DOJ sent to Brussels a delegation of six people, two prosecutors from the Southern District of New York, by the names of Daniel Reichenthal and Catherine Gauche, and four FBI agents. One of them was Special Agent Joshua Wilson from the Baltimore Field Office, which also happens to cover the state of Delaware. Now, you want to ask yourself, why did the government dispatch to Europe so many people? Why six? Why not two? The answer is that they knew very well that I'm a credible witness and that I have insider knowledge about the group and the individuals that enriched the Biden family.
Okay, you can cut that off. Folks, I would urge all of you to watch the entire video clip. Okay, he gives important information. But the bottom line there, why? Because he was a threat to Biden, a threat to, and this is important, a threat to the intelligence community and especially the FBI, which in my particular opinion needs to be burned down to the ground and rebuilt with, if at all. DHS needs to go, okay? The FBI needs to be reformatted in the biggest of ways. Okay. Again, that's under censorship, but it's also under the weaponization of the Department of Justice and FBI, which is turning against you and I in conjunction with non-governmental entities such as the Southern Poverty Law Center, who recently made Moms for Liberty, that racist, horrible organization, right? A hate group. And the FBI and DOJ and all of you faggot FBI agents out there and lesbian FBI agents out there and sexually curious FBI agents out there. Yeah, I'm talking to you. The very same people who have my phone tapped. The very same people. I'm talking to you. Okay. You need to be in my opinion, you break the law. You're supposed to uphold the Constitution. You're doing anything but. You're protecting the criminal, including intimidation of witnesses and censoring the information that we need as Americans to have to make a specific choice in the voting booth, including that last election, which wasn't an election at all, but a selection, which again brings me to the show I did yesterday with Joel Gilbert. Now, speaking of censorship, and that this is extremely important, kind of on the same wavelength, just bumping this a little bit. I want to introduce you to a program called iVerify. This is page one in the show notes. This is a UN development program. Folks, understand the UN is planning to seize global emergency powers with the White House, with the executive branch's support, okay? We spoke about this before. I verify is a mode, is a method, is a means by which, number one, you're going to be censored. Number two, you're going to be fact-checked. You are going to be that obsolete man in the Twilight Zone episode that is fabled and spoke of to Twilight Zone aficionados. In 2 months, and you can leave that up there for a moment, in 2 months before the next U.S. election, the U.N. is going to host a landmark summit of the future. This is a meeting where member nations will adopt what's called a pact for the future. Now, this agreement will solidify numerous policy reforms offered by the United Nations over the past 2 years as part of its sweeping Our Common Agenda platform. Now, why am I mentioning this in the context of the DOJ, the FBI, the U.S.? Because all of this is really the enforcement end here in the United States, is the intelligence community. The enforcement end of all of this globally will be the Five Eyes or the specific intelligence agencies on the planet. Okay, now, the link to this website, I Verify, will be in the program description notes. I suggest that you take a really good look at this. Along with that, let me just make sure I have this correct. Okay, if you scroll down, I believe, let's see, if you scroll down on that, I'm sorry. This would be video number one. What am I thinking? This is video number one in the show notes. I Verify. This is open source misinformation. You remember Scary Poppins, how she was going to head the Ministry of Mis and Disinformation? Remember that? You remember Scary Poppins, right? You think that this whole thing was dropped? It wasn't dropped. I told you it wouldn't be dropped. Now this is going on a global level, and a similar component will exist here in the United States. But in addition to I Verify, there will be this open source misinformation and hate speech detection stack from UNDP. Now this is a video. I want to show you this video. Before you play this, can you show the number of views and the upload date? This was uploaded a year ago. How many views does that have? 444. I probably added like 50 views to that. This is about I Verify. This is what is being promoted to combat, let me rephrase that, this is what's being promoted to censor you, okay? This is how they're going to do this on a global scale. But this is their little fun and joyous little promo, if you will. And this is on YouTube, and this is about I Verify. I suggest you take a look at this, and let's play it, and keep this in the back of your mind, because you're going to be hearing a lot more about this. Go ahead and play it.
It's election time, and I'm excited to vote. But how do I know I can trust the information I'm seeing online? That's where I Verify comes in. I can ask I Verify if an article is true or not. When someone messages I Verify about a suspicious article, it goes to a whole team of highly trained local fact checkers who check to see if the article is reliable. I Verify also uses machine learning to check if an article has already been reviewed to avoid duplication. If an article turns out to be false, you know you can trust I Verify because it's supported by trusted local organizations using this tool UNDP developed to help ahead of elections. And when an article does turn out to be false, iVerify lists it on its website and sends a notice to election officials. But iVerify doesn't just identify false news stories. It also monitors social media for toxic content, horrible messages like these. What's more, iVerify can monitor everything posted on social media in a day for toxic content. When it finds something, that also goes to the verifiers. Protected free speech and verifiable information are important to an election. So is civil discussion. iVerify is working to ensure these rights are protected. To learn more, go to digital.undp.org.
Okay, this is a United Nations initiative, but again, it has a sister or a correlation with the United States. And again, you're talking about a very scary Poppins kind of organization. Again,
look at that logo.
Isn't that something? What does that look like to you? An eyeball, for those listening on the radio, an eyeball with a check mark in the middle of the dark part of the eye. Huh. I'm sure it's just coincidence. Eric the Tech, don't you think it's just coincidence? Yeah. Yeah. And
if you're falling for this, you are not useful.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, dude. You're right. If you're falling for that, have a good day. All right. But who's doing the fact-checking? See, I started digging into this because I want to know who's doing the fact-checking and who's paying for the fact-checkers, because that's always a thing, right? Because maybe I want to make a few dollars. Page 3. This is the International Fact Checking Network. This is the Pointer, Pointer. The link again will be in the program description box. This is page 3. Did I print this out? Oh, come on. Did I print it out? I know I did. I know. No, maybe I didn't. Okay, so Pointer. This actually is pretty interesting. Hang on, let me get to my... Okay, the Pointer Institute for Media Studies. What this is a nonprofit journalism school. Oh boy, and research organization where in beautiful St. Petersburg, Florida, the school is the owner of the Tampa Bay Times newspaper. No, really, no. There's no conflict there. As well as the International Fact Checking Network, it also operates, you ready for this, PolitiFact? You don't say. Okay. Well, so what you have is the iVerify system. It's here. It's the digital public infrastructure. They work with governments, the private sector, NGOs, academia, development partners across the globe, and so on. The UN's new fact-checking system is going to be a game changer. But so far, the mainstream, lamestream, legacy, stupid media has really been quiet about it because they don't want us to know about it. They don't want us to know about this journey. Oh, look at that beautiful lady that's the head of it right there. Angie, whatever her name is named the head.
Drobnik.
Drobnik. Is that what her name is? Okay.
Hold on.
Yeah, hold on. And you can go to the link and, oh, have at it. Okay. But the UN developed iVerify in conjunction with big tech companies. And, oh, yes, Alexander, the spawn of Satan, Soros-funded organization. And it'll be used to crack down on disinformation and hate speech all over this world. And this will be combined with artificial intelligence. Okay, so, look, you don't have to be Einstein to understand that this is not going to be used to crack down on points of view that big tech...
And they have all the answers.
Well, they do, man, they do. I just want them to tell me how to think, what to think, when to think, if to think. What do you think?
Just curl up with my little blankie by the fire and
your
see
binky?
What's been fact checked for the day.
I'm going to tell you, this was long. You know, you think that this just happened, but this has been long. This is, you know, how old this is? 8 years. This was launched in 2015.
But they have a transparency statement.
Okay. That makes it all better. Thank goodness for that.
In training, in resources.
And they promote excellence, I'm sure. In global events.
And a bunch of stock photos.
And a crappy website. And a bunch of morons who fall for this stuff. But you know what they're pushing, okay? And remember this now. Please remember what I'm telling you. The triple planetary crisis. You know what that is, Eric? The tech, the triple planetary. It's the trifecta of planetary crises.
Star Trek, baby.
It's climate change, nature and biodiversity loss, and pollution.
Live long and prosper.
I'm gonna start speaking Klingon here momentarily. I wouldn't even know.
None of their employees are biased.
Of course not. No. Oh man, we have too much fun doing this. I'm gonna tell you. It's hard for me to believe. If you go to page two in the show notes. We're not going to get through all this, I'm sure of it. If you go to page two, let's see. Let's roll the wheel. Did we go to page two yet? All right, let's go to page two. I want to show you this, too, because this relates to all of this. The Summit of the Future in 2024, if you scroll down just a tad or scroll up or whatever you call it, there you go, right there. There's a graph here for the radio listeners. The Summit of the Future, and it starts at 2015 with the 2030 agenda. And that's the 2030 agenda is agreed by UN member states as a plan for action for people, planet, and prosperity and peace. Yeah, my patootie, right? And then 2020, UN 75 declaration. The reason I'm pointing you to this graph is because it gives you the timeline, it gives you the goals, the objectives, and I think on one occasion, even some of the players, but it ends at 2024, the Pact for the Future, which is an action-oriented pact for the future, will be endorsed by the heads of state government at the summit, showcasing global solidarity for current and future generations. This is what the UN is planning. This is how the UN is planning to seize global emergency powers with Biden's support. And again, this is when I talked last week, and when Randy Taylor was here, and when you folks, when you saw on the overhead, the UN is planning to seize global emergency powers with Biden's support. This is what they're talking about. This is what they're talking about. And once triggered, the emergency platform would give the UN the ability to actively promote and drive internal response or international response that places principles of equity and solidarity at the center of its work. I'm telling you, this is of the devil. This is of the most satanic creation ever. I'm running out of time. I got 7 minutes left. Oh, just all the time I need. Okay. Actually, not, but that's okay. I'm going to show you this. Let's see here. I can't show you that. This is important because I'm going to move right to war. Now, I can't give you, it seems like we're running out of time. You and I have too much fun. But video number three, Colonel John Mills breaks down Xi's army preparedness. This is on Bannon's War Room. This is not new. This is a number of days old. But this is important. It's 3 minutes in length. Watch this. This is video number three in the show notes. This is important because when you've got Biden, okay, kissing Z's butt and personally enriching the entire Biden family, in at least as far as I can tell, enriching themselves at the expense of our nation – And this is what Xi has got planned for we? Well, take a look.
Has this been iVerified?
iVerify says, nah, this is just, you know, hyperbolic.
Well, yeah. Then I can't play it.
Well, I'll come over there and you'll play it. I'm armed and dangerous at the moment. Watch this.
Colonel Mills, tell us about Xi's speech to the troops to prepare for war, to get combat ready, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. This is PSYOP 101. Who is the target audience? Xi's audience was his military, get ready, and the nation, get ready for conflict, not just about Taiwan. This is not really about Taiwan anymore. This is about us. This is about the rest of the world. So number one is get ready. And number two, absolute loyalty, absolute loyalty. We're forgetting several things here. There was this book, 7 Days in May, very influential about a coup in America in 1963, spooked the Soviets. But we should remember 90 days in Peking last September, October, November. People are forgetting the momentous events that happened, sacking of ministers and execution of ministers like the Justice Minister Fu. Now, there was General Lee of the PLA Air Force who potentially was they thought a coup was going on. Not clear. Now Lee has been reappointed. Maybe Lee helped put down other generals. He flipped and turned in a bunch of other generals who are now in prison or dead. So he was also voted back in, and she was voted back in for a third term as the CCP chief. And then the November white paper revolution, which was the biggest mass simultaneous uprising ever against the Chinese Communist Party, scared them, spooked them, because when the Lao Beijing do it simultaneously, they can overwhelm the CCP. So I'm really concerned, and also about a fake toward Taiwan and a move south toward Australia. Well, geez, nobody's talking about this. What is the one thing that Xi has not secured? He's, you know, he looks to take over the reserve currency. Check. Energy. The deal with Iran, the pipeline from Iran. Check. The one thing they haven't done yet is food. And where do they eat? They can't make it in China. Poor terrain, poor soil. When they look at Australia, they think of one thing, lunch. And Australia is relatively isolated. Yeah, they already have a forward operating base. They're already in the Solomon Islands. They already have their forward operating base.
No, everything we fought for in World War II, they're surrounding now our ally, Australia. The Battle of the Coral Sea doesn't mean much when you've given away the Solomons and all the other island chains there to the political warfare. I told you political warfare. Also, the move south would be the Straits of Malacca. The Straits of Malacca would absolutely secure direct oil shipments from their partners. Iran and Saudi Arabia, Iran and Iraq are their partners now.
Okay, and actually taking a stop. This, watch the entire clip. Go to HagmanPI.com, open up the program description box. But think about this. Okay, in addition to war, you've got BRICS representing 41% of the Earth's population, including China. You've got Turkey, Iran, Saudi, Venezuela also kind of moving toward BRICS. The United States, our currency is becoming worthless because we're no longer a petrodollar. We're becoming irrelevant. So we're looking for this CBDC to come into play, which I believe it will in the short term. And I believe where's it going to be based? But none other than Shanghai, China. Why? Because that's where it needs to be based. And also, if you've been wondering about CBDCs and programmable currency, look up this DIIA in Ukraine, no less. But this is all going to come together, and you will not own a damn thing, even your own money. Why? Because, well, they want to control you. These Satan-loving, pedophilic, monsters want to control you, your family, your DNA, everything about you. They're anti-God, and they're coming and we're coming for them as well. It's going to get rocky, folks. If you like the show, please share it. Tell others about this. Post it on social networking. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, says Eric the Tech. And Eric, thank you so much for all you do. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good day.